sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Sunday's 42nd BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany once again is shaping up as a possible record-setting race. 10 world records have been set on the flat and fast course, including last year when Kenya's Dennis Kimeto clocked the current mark of 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds. Kimeto is not running in Berlin Sunday, but several other speedy Kenyans are ready to make world record attempts. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with one of them. Here's Andy.
We're talking with Eliud Kipchoge, who's running in the BMW Berlin Marathon on Sunday. He's had a great year. He won the London title in late April. And of course, as any track and field fan knows, he's made a wonderful transition from being one of the best track runners in the world. Eliud, you like... So many of the Kenyans seem cool, calm, and collected before a race. The way you're sitting in here, almost like a Buddha, a Zen-like figure. Are you really that calm inside?
Yes, I'm really calm, and I'm looking forward for Sunday. Yes.
Does that mental aspect of preparation play an important role for you? Of course, you've got to be in great shape, but mentally, do you have to get yourself in great shape for a race like this in Berlin?
The important thing is actually training, to train very hard and make sure your body is fit. And then above all is your mind. You should be mentally fit to handle the trainings and also the race.
Is that something that you practice in training? When I say practice, I mean obviously you're going out and you're running. And of course in Kenya, you've got training partners who are very good. They're of your standard. So is there a sense of that preparation of the mind as well every time you go out for a group run?
Yes, mind should be actually in a good, actually fit when also in trainings, because training actually is not easy. It's hard, it has challenges, actually, but you should be able to handle, you know, sport is today you are up, tomorrow you are down, and you should accept that. So, because I'm training with many people, I'm training with a lot of actually very high profile athletes, and that's what makes my mind to be really comfortable.
What are your impressions of Berlin Marathon? How do you rate it as a course?
I think I rate as the fastest course ever in the whole world, because it's flat and the weather is actually perfect. So the course for Berlin actually is the best in the whole world.
Well, that's quite a recommendation. You talk about the people you train with and how you have to be in top shape to match them. Of course, one of them is Emmanuel Mutai. So how's he been going in training?
Emmanuel is my training mate. We have been training very well for the last 4 months, and we hope for the best on Sunday because of our trainings and everything. And we are actually foreseeing a good race on Sunday.
Your training partner, especially of your standard and Emmanuel's standard, There must be. Is there a sense of rivalry when you're going out doing, say, just an easy recovery run? Do you switch off when you do that?
In sport, personally, we don't have a rivalry because this is sport, and sport is about competing. Sport is about after competing, you get your results, and that's what a sport is. We don't have rivalry ever.
Right. Well, certainly they'll be competing on Sunday in the BMW Berlin Marathon. Eliud Kipchoge, all the best for the race. Thanks very much, Eliud.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with a couple of local favorites in Berlin.
I'm standing here just before the Berlin Marathon 2015 and with two very fine runners. One who's won the BMW Berlin Marathon, that was 25 years ago, Uta Pippig, who's had some wonderful performances in her career. We'll be hearing from Uta several reasons why she's here, and someone who is going to be racing on Sunday in the BMW race, and that's Anna Hahner, going to, well, get the Olympic qualifying time. That's her target, and she had her best ever marathon, 2:26:44, last year. First of all, with Anna, you had a trial run on the Olympic course in Rio in July, but this is really an important race for you, isn't it? Not just what you can do, but the target of that Olympic norm.
Yeah, the Olympic norm for me, that's the big goal. I want to race for Germany next year in the Olympic Games in Rio. And so I want to run very fast at Berlin Marathon. And of course, the Olympic standard is one goal, but I want to run even a bit faster. I want to break my PB because it was such an amazing feeling to cross the finish line and see the 2:26 on the watch. So that's my goal for Sunday.
And you've said how much Berlin, the atmosphere, the people, the course means to you. We know what it meant to Uta, the first unified Berlin Marathon 25 years ago, but just give us a feel of what it's like to run in Berlin.
Yeah, Berlin is for me, it's like coming home. It's my marathon city because it's already the third marathon I can race in this city, and the people, they are so welcoming and they cheer me up. And yeah, for me, it's feeling like, okay, that's my town, my city. That's the best city for me to run a fast marathon.
Well, Uta Pippig, you're a citizen of many cities, countries, the USA, Germany, your foundation, Take the Magic Step for charity. 25 years ago, you going to the start line and winning the first ever all-Berlin marathon. That must still be a great memory for you.
It is, and I think it's for many. So many, 25,000 people ran back then, and you know, it was a special, very special day to run together united through both parts of the city for the first time after, you know, we had the Cold War and the Berlin Wall came down in 89. So I'm very happy that I was able to run this race and with so many people and with so much joy and finishing it, then winning it too, coming from East Germany as an East German running girl, was special.
Yeah, I mean, you and I are somewhat older. You were running. I was working here 25 years ago as a journalist. And Anna made us feel very old because she said she was barely a year old then. But it seems to feel, you know, in German they say Berlin bleibt doch Berlin. Berlin is always Berlin. There's something really essential about it. That seems to be true for this marathon as well.
Right, and especially, I mean, I have, for instance, just an apartment still in Berlin, not just a baggage, you know. But it is, Berlin is so special. The people are excited about their race. They love the runners. They love Anna. You know, they are so open and welcoming. They love their sport. They love to run and to be fit, and they love freedom. So maybe that's the special connection from 25 years ago where we all ran into freedom and the united, you know, future.
Anna, have you had a chance to be picking Uta's brains about racing on Sunday? I mean, we know you're an international runner, you've run championships, but I mean, any kind of information being shared?
Yeah, I think she has so much positive energy, and I think smiling is an important factor. It was an important factor for her during racing, and I realized that's also very important for me because if you smile, the people smile back, and this gives you a lot of energy, and this helps me to run even faster.
That's an interesting question because I've talked to some Kenyans. I mean, Wilson Kipsang, was the world record holder in the marathon, saying, "You look so relaxed, Wilson." He says, "Yes, it's important. I radiate confidence in my body." And Uta, with your yoga, which you've been doing for many years, you know, and the joy you show in running, it's a mental and a physical thing, is it?
Absolutely. I think positive energy, if you are able to regain your strength by having positive energy all the time, you come into a state of very cool relaxation. And very cool relaxation is the key for fast running. So if you want your goal, but you want it in a way that it comes to you, then you mostly succeed.
Well, cool relaxation. Anna Hahner, is that what you're thinking? Well, when you go to the start line, I mean, I suppose you have lots of different thoughts in your mind, but when you're on that line on Sunday.
Yeah, it's if you want it too much, then you get you are not relaxed, and you have to be relaxed to run free and easily. So with the smile on my face, it helps me to have this easy running style.
Well, Anna Hahner, we wish you all the best for getting that Olympic qualifying time for Germany in the BMW Marathon on Sunday. Ute Pippig, a return to the city where you won so in such magnificent style 25 years ago. All the charity efforts you're going to be involved in, and your running and stuff, and the yoga and everything. Take the magic step. Thank you very much to both of you. Thank you, Anna and Ute.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Of America.
VOA. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. The energetic Andy Edwards has certainly been busy ahead of Sunday's Berlin Marathon in Germany. Andy also caught up with one of Kenya's leading contenders in the women's race. Once again, here's Andy.
We're about to have a chat with Gladys Chirono, who is one of the hot favorites for the BMW Berlin Marathon this Sunday. Gladys has had a fantastic 2015. She was injured last year, supposed to have been running here in Berlin, but she had to make her debut, well, had to, in Dubai in January, around 2 hours, 20 minutes and 3 seconds, finishing only 1 second behind the Ethiopian Aselefek Mergia. Gladys, are you feeling sharp for Sunday? I know it's only your second marathon, but you really have a great pedigree.
Yes, I'm happy because now I'm okay. I've trained very well, and I know I will run my personal best.
Does it feel a bit funny, because in a sense, to be here when originally you thought you were going to be here a year ago and running your debut in Berlin?
Yes, this year, last year, I was supposed to be here, but I was injured. But this time, everything is okay. Yes.
It looks, well, you tell me, as if you've had just about a perfect build-up for this marathon, because you had that great debut in the marathon in Dubai in January. You've run personal bests at 10K on the road and half marathon. Just tell me, has it been perfect or not?
Yes, this is perfect. I have trained very well. I know this race is a faster course, and I hope everything will be okay. I will run my best.
Looking at the women's field, and indeed I think it's true of the men's, it's very competitive. It's not all about one runner. Can he or she break a record? Are you aware of that, you know, just how strong the women's field is?
I don't know, because we have a strong women team, and they have run a lot of marathons than me, so I can't say anything now. Let's see on that day.
You know, great runners like Haile Gebrselassie and Paul Togat have said that they had to learn about the marathon. This will be your second one only. Do you feel you're still learning despite your great debut?
Yeah, maybe we don't know, but this course we have seen men always breaking records. No ladies have been. Maybe it will be our time. We will do so.
You're just 3 seconds outside breaking 2:20. Well, let's say 4 to be mathematically correct. Is that an incentive, or is it more a case of, well, the victory above all?
Yes, I will try my best to run good. Yes, and I will do in the race also.
Well, there you are from Gladys Chirono, one of indeed the favourites, but there are quite a few of them in the women's field at the BMW Berlin Marathon 2015. Race day is Sunday. Thank you, Gladys.
Thank you very much.
Rugby World Cup news now on the Sunny Side of Sports. The two-time world champion Springboks of South Africa will try to bounce back Saturday when they play Samoa in Birmingham, England. The Springboks suffered a 34-32 loss to Japan in their opening match, a result described as the biggest upset in Rugby World Cup history. In action Thursday, the defending champion All Blacks of New Zealand powered to a 58-14 win over Namibia at Olympic Stadium in London. Namibia's captain, flanker Jacques Berger, says it was a real thrill to play the All Blacks.
As soon as you don't enjoy that days like this, and as soon as you don't find any pride against playing against the best side, the All Blacks, and then you can stop playing this game. You know, I think so. A lot of these boys, half of these boys, are 8-5ers. You know, and to play against the All Blacks on the world stage, to face the Haka, I think it was a special moment for us.
We heard Namibian captain Jacques Berger say how his team is made up partly of 8-5ers. Namibia's lineup included a dentist, a few farmers, and even a diamond trader. From London, skipper Jacques Berger and the Namibian team now travel southwest to Exeter, England, where they'll play Tonga in their next match on September 29th. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. I tweeted a quote I heard from Uta Pippig during her interview with the energetic Andy Edwards. If you're able to regain your strength by having positive energy all the time, you come into a state of very cool relaxation. The quote got retweeted by a few folks, including Uta Pippig, the former women's winner of the Berlin, Boston, and New York City marathons. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for my Voice of America engineer this evening, Sule Terawali. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC on the following shortwave frequencies, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
First leg semifinal action kicks off this weekend in Africa's two main club football tournaments, the CAF Champions League and the CAF Confederation Cup. Our African football guru, David Legg, joins us again this evening for a look at both competitions. David, let's begin with the Champions League. How are the semifinals shaping up?
Yes, Sonny, and the semifinal lineup will have two Sudanese clubs, not something I think anybody would have expected at the beginning of the season way back in February. Al Hilal, they will play Usma of Algeria, and then Al Merrekh will play Mazembe of DR Congo. I guess Mazembe must be the favourites now. They've won the competition four times. None of the other clubs have won the competition. And Mazembe really were impressive. They took Maghreb Tetouan of Morocco apart, winning 5-0 in Lubumbashi, easily their most impressive performance of the season. Despite the fact that Tetouan had lost by 5 goals, they still would have qualified for the semi-finals if Hilal had lost at Smouha of Egypt. And for a long time, Hilal were trailing. But midway through the second half, the Sudanese equalized. They forced a 1-1 draw. And on the basis of that point, they went through to the semi-finals. In the other group, Sonny, it was already a foregone conclusion. It was really a question of pride at stake. The match between Usma of Algeria and Merrekh in Sudan ended 1-0 in favor of Merrekh, a big morale boost for them. And then a really disappointing Anton Satif, the defending champions. They could only manage a 2-2 draw at home to Mouloudia El Ulma in an all-Algerian affair. And that, after 5 consecutive defeats, was the first point that Ulma achieved in the competition. Satif finishing with just 5 points, 1 win and 2 draws and 3 losses, a much poorer showing than I think their own fans and most of us expected. As to who's going to win those semi-finals, Sonny, well, the fact that they won the groups and won them impressively, I guess makes USM Alger of Algeria and Mazembe of DR Congo favourites. They're also favoured in the sense that they have the second legs at home. The group runners-up have home advantage first. And it seems like most coaches much prefer to play the second match at home. But of course, Sonny, if you build a decisive first leg lead, let's say you win 2-0, 3-0, then I think that theory goes out the window. I think it's very difficult to come from, say, 3-0 behind after the first leg. So let's give a tentative plug to a final between USM Alger and TP Mazembe in the CAF Champions League.
David, let's turn now to the CAF Confederation Cup semifinals. What does the Final Four look like in that tournament?
When you look at the lineup, Cheapers, this is very strong indeed. You have got Orlando Pirates of South Africa up against Al Ahly of Egypt, the title holders, and you've got Etoile Sahel of Tunisia up against Al Malik of Egypt. Now, the first thing you notice about those four clubs is all of them are previous African champions. That is an amazingly strong lineup. It is, to me, Sonny, the strongest lineup ever in the semifinals of the CAF Confederation Cup. And with the greatest of respect to the CAF Champions League, I believe that lineup is even stronger than the one for the CAF Champions League. The dream final, of course, as we've mentioned before on the Sunny Side of Sport, would be an Atli-Zamalek showdown. These are the two Egyptian giants. Atli are the most successful CAF club. They've won 19 titles, including 8 in the Champions League. And the second most successful club are Zamalek. They've won 9 titles. Incidentally, the third most successful club are Etoile Sahel with 8. So you have the first, second, and third most successful CAF clubs all playing in the second-tier competition. Now, of course, the million-dollar question, who's going to win those semifinals? Well, I think you have to, at this stage, go for the Egyptian clubs. They've both been very impressive. They're very good on the road. Zamalek, if anything, have been the more impressive of the two. In the final group game, Zamalek played Orlando Pirates of South Africa, and this was billed as a big one, a top-of-the-table clash. But for most of the match, there was only one side in it, and it certainly was not Orlando Pirates. Zamalek played some superb football. They won 4-1. Karaba, he scored one of the goals and created 2 others for Zamalek. And I'm not exaggerating when I say the final scoreline could have been 6 or 7-1. Because Evono, the Equatoguinean goalkeeper who signed for Pirates recently, he made several superb saves. Pirates really were outclassed, and Zamalek, not only are they likely finalists, but at this stage I would say probably likely winners of the competition. In the other match in that group, which was academic interest only, AC Leopards of Congo Brazzaville and CS Faxian of Tunisia drew 0-0. So the final standings in that group, Sonny, were Zamalek 15 points, Pirates second with 12, Leopards a distant third with 5, and Faxian, record 3-time winners of the Confederation Cup, a really disappointing bottom place for them with just 2 points, 2 draws and 4 defeats. In the other group, Ashley and Etoile Sahel, they were level going into the final round of matches. Both won, so they also finished level with 13 points each. And Ashley finished first because of a superior goal difference. Etoile didn't look like they were going to win. They were trailing Esperance of Tunisia for a long time. And then Bounedjah, an Algerian and one of the deadliest finishers in African football at the moment, he scored 1 minute from time from a penalty spot. And then 3 minutes into stoppage time to snatch a 2-1 victory for the team known as the Red Devils, who are based in the Mediterranean resort of Sousse. For Atli, it was a 1-0 home victory over Stade Malien of Mali. Gamal, after 75 minutes, scoring the only goal. So just to confirm again, Sonny, those semi-finals, it'll be Pirates against Atli. That's a repeat of the 2013 CAF Champions League final won by the Egyptians. And Sahel of Tunisia up against Zamalek of Egypt. And I seem to be sticking my neck out a lot on The Voice of America this week. I'm going for an Atli-Zamalek final.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, predicting an all-Egyptian CAF Confederation Cup final. And David was sticking his neck out in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Serve musiki Lombi Afioti
Hi, this is Alex Young, and you're listening to my dad on the Sunny Side of Sports.
And you can trust me, sports fans, Alex's voice has gotten a little deeper since we recorded that promo more than 10 years ago. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers one of baseball's most loved and widely quoted players, Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra of the New York Yankees, who died this week at age 90. Yogi was loved for his skills on the baseball field and also for the goofy things he said off it. The stocky catcher was the cornerstone of the New York Yankees, one of the world's great sports clubs. An 18-time All-Star and 10-time World Series champion as a player, Yogi also won 3 League Most Valuable Player awards. Lawrence Peter Berra was born in St. Louis, Missouri. He got his nickname from a boyhood friend who said he looked like a Hindu yogi. Baseball's most famous yogi was also well known for his yogiisms, very nutty sayings by Yogi that left people smiling and shaking their heads, including 4 of my favorites. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. You can observe a lot just by watching. It's deja vu all over again. And finally, it ain't over till it's over. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a great weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.